You put the B in LGBT. You put the B in LGBT.
Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. I am joined by Sunshine Mughrabi. Sorry, I know I said it wrong. Author of When My Boyfriend Was a Girl, a memoir. Welcome, Sunshine.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. I'm excited about this interview. Let's start by telling us a little bit about yourself and what prompted you to share your story. And for everybody, this is a story about her journey with her husband during transition from female to male.
Yes. So, let me tell you a little about myself. I am a bisexual woman. I've been out as bisexual since I was 19. And I work in high tech. And I'm also a professional writer. And what prompted me to tell this story was really that I wanted to read my story, and I wasn't finding it anywhere. And so after a while, I started thinking, well, maybe I should tell it myself, because if I want to read my story, chances are there are other people out there, other partners and family members of trans people who might want to read sort of a romantic, lighthearted, yet, you know, truthful account of what it's like to be with somebody when they go through this amazing experience we call gender transition.
Well, you are absolutely correct. That is one of the things I have found, is there's very little stories or information about the actual process of transitioning, what that's like for the part, for both the partner and the person transitioning. So I'm really glad you did this. Like I said, we hear very little about that process from male to female, and even less about from female to male. And there's so many misconceptions, and frankly, people can be rude and crass and really cruel. And that's one of the reasons trans people really need to protect themselves, because people objectify them and just don't understand. And it's really like an onslaught every day. What kind of responses have you received from the trans community about it?
Well, to your first point, I agree. I think that trans people are some of the most misunderstood people in the world. Obviously, lately, this issue has been getting a lot more press than it used to, thanks mm-hmm. to one person named Caitlyn Jenner, who has really, I think, done a huge amount to throw open the closet doors and get people familiar. But at the same time, you know, her story is just one story, and the process she's going through is radically different than, you know, a typical middle class person going through the experience. So I think there's plenty of room, and there's certainly a lot more need for understanding. And we certainly encountered a great deal of misunderstanding, and I suppose you could say crassness and rudeness. I always tried to think of it in terms of people just not getting it, because they would say things that I would find wildly insensitive. Like, for example, I was sitting in a cafe with a friend, and she very loudly asked me in this crowded restaurant, "Does Lior still have a vagina?"
Oh, my God. Oh.
And,
oh, my goodness. Oh. Oh.
And I just kind of went, you know, not really something I'm going to discuss with you. You know, try to be polite about it and get kind of, you know, I don't know, put on my sort of doctor voice and say, uh-huh. well, you know, there are many things that trans people have to go through, and surgery is one of those choices, and, you know, sort of, you know. But, yeah, I mean, clearly this wasn't a person who thought that she was being insensitive. She thought she was just a curious person who wanted to know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even when people misgendered him or, you know, suddenly forgot his name. Sometimes I got annoyed and frustrated, but I also tried to remember that for so many people, this is just mystifying to them.
Yeah, and I think, I think that's one of those things when it is mystifying and unknown, they tend not to remember that they're talking about a human being. And I agree with you. I think for the most part, people don't understand they're being very insensitive and hurtful. And there are those who are very purposely trying to hurt, but they're few and far between from talking to my friends. But mostly it's just like, you know, all the time people just cross boundaries that they shouldn't be crossing.
Yeah.
You know,
it does seem to come down to that. There's way too much interest in plumbing, which is so obviously crossing of boundaries. I think I put in the book, I said, you know, well, how about we discuss your partner's, you know, genitalia first, and then we'll get on to my partner's genitalia. You know,
exactly. And you know, and it's missing the whole point of transitioning,
right?
Because it is, you know, and it takes away from understanding. It really does. So I understand that frustration. So, why did you? This is your first book.
It is,
right? Right, and you've written some short stories before.
Yep.
I have not had a chance to read them yet.
Okay.
Why did you choose to write a memoir rather than, say, a novel?
Well, that's a good question. I did actually think about writing a novel. I was in a writing workshop with, I don't know if you know, Leslea Newman. She's a wonderful writer that everybody should check out. She is best known for her book, Heather Has Two Mommies. And when I was living in Northampton, Mass, I took a writing workshop with her, and I started working on a sort of fictional account of a relationship with a trans person. And it just somehow wasn't coming together. And so I dropped it and kind of forgot about it. I put it away. And then I took another workshop several years later when I lived in San Francisco with somebody named Adair Lara, and it was a memoir workshop. And I actually, I went into it wanting to write about, my mother, who was a hippie, and sort of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, that's kind of been done. There's, you know, Glass Castle. And is there anything else in your life that's unusual or different that you maybe want to write a memoir about? And I just said, no, you know, not really. I'm pretty boring. You know, I'm just a middle-aged married lady who lives, you know, in San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, and she said, well, is there anything, you know, can you think of anything unusual about your life? And I said, well, my husband's transgender. Mm-hmm. And she was like, now, wait a minute. That is an unusual thing about your life, you know. But somehow, because it was just my life, I actually didn't think that it would make for a very good book, because it was just kind of what I was living.
Right, right.
And as soon as she saw it, and everybody in the class too, they were all kind of looking at me like, wait a minute, rewind. Did you just say? And then I realized, oh, wait a minute, yes, there really is a story to be told. And that's when I started thinking, you know, yeah, and I never have read this story. I read romantic books. Sometimes I read, you know, gay and lesbian literature. Sometimes I read, you know, hetero literature, bi literature, but I have never read this story. And as I got into writing it, I realized there was really a lot that I could tell, and it was quite dramatic, in fact, because when Lior and I first got together, his name's Lior, he was very, very early in the process, and so he was going through the incredibly dramatic roller coaster experience that you go through when you first start a gender transition. Everything from all of this sort of, you know, emotional stuff to just the effects of the testosterone to everything else, and then throwing that together with the biggest, you know, love affair of either of our lives was kind of like a, you know, setting fire to a powder keg.
And, yeah, and I love the way that you talk about it. You're very honest, and it's very, at some places, very raw, and that took a lot of courage, so, you know, for both of you. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, it was, we took some time deciding whether we really wanted to put this out to the world. It was not the easiest decision. Lior, in particular, is a very private person. And the idea that we were going to have other people reading the personal details of our lives was pretty scary for both of us. But
I can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it was, and we talked it out, and we even at one point we thought, you know what, let's not do it. And then we got talking again, and we thought about all the people out there who were going through whatever they were going through, and who could possibly take comfort, inspiration, you know, a sense of community, a sense of connection from reading it. And so we decided, you know what, let's just do it.
Yeah, and a sense of validation for, you know, some of that roller coaster stuff that goes on, because I've had a couple of friends say, am I going crazy? Or, you know, and it's, I think that will help a lot. I really do. We're going to just take a really short break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more with Sunshine about her great book.
This is Margaret Cho, and you're listening to the Bicast, podcasting for the bisexual community.
All right, I'm going to take a little short break and have a listen to Honeybird come out. Thank you. Back with Sunshine, and before we start any more questions, Sunshine was talking about some great people that are transitioned who are in the public eye, who are doing a lot to make people understand what it is about being a trans individual and starting to help change the narrative for a lot of people. They're very important because, as we know, trans murders and trans abuse and violence is very pervasive in our society, and we need to change that. it's global. It's a global problem, and it's a big concern. Some of the people that I particularly think are heroes in my eyes are Julia Serrano, who keeps going at it, helping to dispel myths and make sense of the world. Monica Roberts, of course, Transgreal, has been at it for over 20 years and is awesome. Andrea Jenkins is now doing the trans oral history in Minnesota at the University of Minnesota. Was also the first bisexual trans black woman who did the pride parade there. So we're real proud of her for that. And there's so many more. Of course, you know, we have Laverne Cox, who's always out there doing the best she can. And I really appreciate these people because they are people of color, and it is a very big concern. So I just want to give them kudos. And so let's go on. And I was wondering, how did your friends and family respond to your relationship when you first got together?
That's a really good question. And just backing up, I want to support what you said. I think that quite often we talk about the big celebrities who are making trans visibility into something that the general public is starting to see, which is really important. But there's been so many people working behind the scenes for years on this issue and on all of, it's not really one issue. There's so many things that trans people need to deal with, whether it's, you know, the violence issue, which, as we know, is actually getting worse, and then access to health care, which we certainly experience, even ourselves, and so many other things like that. And there are all these people whose names, you know, you just never hear on TV, like James Green, who, you know, made it possible for trans people to be covered by the city of San Francisco. He was a real trailblazer in the idea of getting trans medical coverage. And Max Valerio, who wrote the foreword to my book, I'm so honored. He has been writing and talking about the transition experience for, I don't know, 20 years. In fact, I first met him in the early 90s in San Francisco at the, I met him at the San Francisco Pride Parade, and he was part of the trans contingent. There is now a trans march, a whole separate trans march, but this was back in, I think, 92 or something, and it was like him and four other people. It was tiny. It was tiny. So the times really have changed, and it is a really good idea to remember that there have been all these people working diligently for many years on trying to bring trans rights into the mainstream, and in many cases having to work with the gay and lesbian community that up until recently was not particularly receptive.
Yes, and that's unfortunate. And, you know, for most people that are transitioning, the financial burden is so difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had people say, I've got to save up even to have my name changed. I'm hoping this process is going to get so much easier and affordable that, you know, it's not there yet. I just want to mention that Max wrote the testosterone files. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Yep.
My Hormonal and Social Transformation from Male to Female. So that is on Amazon. You can check that out there. And by the way, we do not get any compensation for any of this. I just like to promote people everywhere. I mean, it's just the way we're supposed to do this. But I have to mention that because we are under fiscal sponsorship. So I have to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Next question. What were the challenges of being with someone who was going through a gender transition? Ooh, loaded question.
Okay. And let me quickly answer the question you asked before, which is how do my friends and family respond? A lot of my friends kind of responded by telling me that this was going to be really complicated. And I had people warning me not to get involved, not to deal with something like this. I had, you know, the sort of too complicated thing came up more than once. And then I had my dad, who had over the years gotten used to the idea of me being bisexual. But when I told him about this, his first response was, couldn't you just settle down with a nice woman?
Oh, dear.
But to give him credit, he did come around. He finally, after some time, he finally realized that he'd really misunderstood what this was about, and he's become a great supporter of me and the book, and he gave a beautiful speech at our wedding. So, you know, it takes time sometimes with family members. And my sister, on the other hand, was completely fine with it. I don't think she even had a reaction. She just was very happy that I'd met somebody, that finally I'd seemed to meet somebody who seemed like a real potential partner for me, because I'd been dating for so many years without much luck. So, yeah. So it was a mixed response, but a lot of it was confusion, or you don't want to go there, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it kind of boils down again to lack of knowledge and concern, you know. So those two things together can be a little dangerous. So thank you. And let's get to the question that I asked before.
Yeah, what were the challenges? So there were so many challenges, and that's really what the book is about. For the most part, is the challenges for both of us, and for us as a couple. So one of the biggest challenges was that, you know, when you first get together with somebody, and there's always a certain kind of, you know, uncertainty. Is this going to work out? Is this, especially when you're madly in love the way we were, there's that fear, you know, could this whole thing blow up? Could this turn out to just be one of those hot things that, you know, didn't last? So when you're dealing with that sort of normal uncertainty of any new relationship, then you add into the mix the fact that the person that you're with is changing on almost a daily basis. So I didn't really exactly know who he was, because he was in flux. And so that was, in many ways, that was the hardest thing. I think in the book I say something like, sometimes it felt like I went to bed with one person and woke up with another person. You know, he was this guy, you know, with all these guy qualities that I just didn't relate to and wasn't sure how I felt about. In some ways, you know, it was kind of sexy because, you know, there was this man strutting around and being very sort of, you know, masterful and, you know, having all these kind of guy things to say about stuff and laughing at sort of, you know, slapstick humor and driving in a more aggressive way and all these things. But in other ways, it was like, what the hell have I just gotten myself into? You know, I thought I was with this sweet, gentle person. That's what he came off as when I first met him, sort of gentle and extremely sort of caring, compassionate person. But there was also this other side that was getting more and more noticeable. You know, as I later learned, this is not that unusual when you're in a relationship with somebody transitioning female to male. You're kind of getting hit with this onslaught of maleness that you just didn't see when you first met the person because it wasn't really there.
Right, and there's a couple of things that you talk about, like that feeling of disassociation with their feelings.
Yep.
Lior said, I kind of miss crying.
Yep.
Yeah, and the competitive driving, that was like, yeah, that really sounds very male.
It does. It was, I mean, of course, you know, when I first met him, he was very male in some very sort of basic ways, you know. Mm-hmm. I think when I, before I met him, I would, you know, I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of gender fluid and I like to do drag and, you know, but then I met somebody who was transgender, who was clearly a male person and, you know, a female bodied male person. And I could see from the very get go that, okay, this is a whole different deal. This is somebody who really is, he always was a man to me from mm-hmm. from the very beginning. He clearly was a man. So I, you know, it's a kind of a strange thing where, yes, this is a man. He's been a man all along. And yet there were these things that were not him that are now him, like the, as you said, the competitive driving, the sort of, you know, can I think I should be able to get around this guy, you know.
Yeah.
And whereas before it was all very polite and waiting and, you know, that kind of thing. So it was a roller coaster.
Yeah, I guess I should say that it's probably not a male characteristic because that's very gender biased, but a testosterone characteristic would probably be more accurate. And it just amazed me. But yeah, some of it was pretty funny and some of it wasn't.
The other thing, of course, is that, and I think we can say this is the influence of the testosterone and also the influence of him becoming who he really is, you know, is that he became very attracted to lots of people. And they were attracted to him. He looked fantastic. He had this kind of, he looked probably 10 years younger than he really was. And he was, you know, just beaming with the excitement of going through the transition. And he had this testosterone going through his veins that was making him kind of wildly horny. And so, you know, here we are in the early stage of our relationship and he's checking everybody out and they're checking him out and I'm feeling completely invisible. And that was incredibly difficult too. The jealousy that I went through was incredibly intense.
I imagine. All real and valid. But yeah, that's getting through that must have been very difficult.
It was. And sometimes humorous. So, you know, I did, you know, I hope that when people read the book, they see the humor in it as we did.
I did. It was great. So here's a question. How has being bisexual affected your relationship?
Well, first of all, when I heard from you and you wanted to invite me onto a bi podcast, I was just so thrilled because the bisexual part of the story is to me as in many ways just as important as the transgender part of the story. And I know that when certain people who responded to the book told me how happy they were to see a book that was so openly bisexual and that kind of, I just blew open those closet doors. And so it was really affirming for me, Lynette, when you got in touch, because it's really nice to be recognized as a bisexual person, as part of this bisexual community that we're in.
And absolutely,
you know, it's something that is also very, very widely misunderstood. And I was looking on Twitter. I didn't realize it was, I think it was Bi Awareness Week last week or mm-hmm. something. I kind of missed mm-hmm. that. But I was looking on Twitter and somebody talked about that, you know, there are higher levels of suicide among teenage bisexuals than teenage gays and lesbians. And I don't think people would know that or expect that. So there's this, a real misunderstanding of the challenges of being bisexual. And I think probably listeners of this podcast would be more aware of this, but the general public really isn't. In fact, quite often you get this kind of, you know, well, you get it, you know, you get double, you get everything you want, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got it, you're twice as likely to get a date on a Friday night, which is true. But you know, what's the good of a date? You want love, you want romance, you want the whole nine yards. And it was actually quite hard for me to find the right person. And so when I met Lior, I think that some things fell into place for me being with him. He was also bisexual. I think he's still provisionally identifies as bisexual, although it's not very activated in him anymore. The more his transition went on, the less he seemed interested in men or maleness or other fellow trans men. But when we first met, we were both very much identified as bisexual, and he also had this kind of wonderfully balanced way about him, that he had aspects of the whole spectrum of gender all within him. And so, I mean, it's kind of weird to put it this way, but it was almost like he was the first person that I wasn't bored with.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, I think maybe as a fellow bisexual, you understand this. It's like you sort of reach the end of the line when somebody's just one, you know, is just a heterosexual man or a lesbian or even a bisexual person. Sometimes you just sort of feel like you've reached the end of the line. There's sort of no more gender left, you know?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
And that was certainly not a problem with him. There was never a shortage of gender.
That's awesome. I just got back from Washington, D.C. We did a lot went on there. We had some great public policy briefing papers submitted for all different kinds of things that concern our community. And there was over 90 of us there, and it was an incredible experience to be with that many bisexuals. It was like, you know, we all got each other, and it was quite remarkable. Quite remarkable.
That sounds great.
It was great. It was. So we've asked you, what kind of responses have you got from the book?
Well, overwhelmingly positive, which of course is extremely pleasing. It, you know, as I said, we were quite nervous about sharing these intimate details of our personal life. I walked a line, but in the end, as you said, it came out pretty raw, and there are definitely some very personal things in this book. And I had family members reading it, some family members who didn't even know that Lior was transgender, suddenly reading about our sex life and our romantic life and all these things about him going through chest surgery and so on. And so, I was justifiably a little nervous, and then I wondered how the general public would respond, but it's just been amazing, how positive the response is. The most touching, of course, are the emails and notes that I get from people who either had a family member or partner or a friend or in some way were connected with a trans person, and they read the book and it really helped them. It was, as you said, it was validating, and it gave them a sense of it helped them to understand better what the other person was going through. It gave them empathy. And so that, of course, for me is always the most touching and the most, you know, meaningful kind of responses. It's why I wrote the book. It's why I published the book, I would say. I wrote it for many reasons, but I published it because I wanted to provide that kind of support. And I'd like to say that we will be giving the book out free to any LGBT centers or T centers or anybody, youth centers, anybody who is interested and is a nonprofit. We would be happy to provide the book for free to them. They just need to email us. It's all on the website, sunshinemukherbee.com. So those were the most touching kind of responses. And then there were just all these wonderful responses from people who read it just because they thought, interesting, a memoir. They didn't have any connection necessarily with anything to do with trans or queer or bi or anything. And they just loved it because it was a love story and it was dramatic and it was a page turner. So that too was a really great response to have. And I had I got a really nice review in The Advocate. Mm-hmm. Kind of what was special about that was that, first of all, of course, it was wonderful to get coverage in The Advocate. But the woman who wrote the review, Diane Anderson Minshall, she actually has written a book with her trans partner, husband, I believe. And they also went through a transition together. And so she really read it also as an insider. And it was particularly nice to have somebody, you know, who is an editor at the Advocate magazine say that she, you know, she devoured this book, and it really also for her was a chance to resonate with the story. So I think, as you said, it's time for there to be more books like this. It's time for more partners and family members to tell our side of the story.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very, very helpful. Thank you so much for doing it. So let's wrap up here. Sunshine, where can we find you on the web and purchase your book, of course?
So you can find me on the web anytime at my name, which is kind of a funny name, so maybe I should spell it. It's Sunshine, and my last name is spelled Mugrabi. So it's at sunshinemugrabi.com. You can go on Amazon and search for my name or for When My Boyfriend Was a Girl. And there's also a link to how to buy the book right on my website. And I do also have a Facebook page, which is just Sunshine Mugrabi. So wherever you look, there I am. I'm also Sunshine Mug on Twitter. So feel free to tweet me. I am many things on Twitter. I'm the author of the book, and then I'm also a techie, so I talk about techie things. Of course, just generally talk about, you know, trans and queer issues. And also cute dogs and whatever else people talk about on Twitter.
Awesome. I think I forgot to ask you this, but I just wanted to bring this up. What do you think you've learned most from being in this relationship?
Oh, that's a really good question. So I think what I've learned most really is that great relationships, and I do believe I'm in a great relationship, are really about kindness. They're really about wanting the other person to be the best themselves that they can be, that you really want them to grow. And I think that Lior and I both have been really committed to that with each other, that we want each other to be the best. I want him to be the best Lior he can be, and he wants me to be the best Sunshine that I can be. And we've been through so much. I recently was in an unfortunate kind of freak accident. And it's been a long recovery, and he's been there just absolutely by my side every step of the way. And that is, you know, when the rubber hits the road, that's what I think I've learned, is that a truly, you know, great relationship that grows and changes through time is really based on love, respect, and kindness and empathy.
Very much so. Yes, if they fold your laundry, they're keepers, right?
That's right. That's right. That was a really sign.
Yeah, that was really cool. Is there anything else you'd like to add today?
No, I really appreciate you having me on, and it's always so much fun to talk about my wonderful husband. Another small plug is if you want to see his artwork, you can go to LiorMugrabi.com. His name is spelled L-E-O-R, and he has all his beautiful paintings up on that website. And you can look out for upcoming projects to be not yet named. And I think that's all I have to say. I want to thank you for having me on the Bicast. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, absolutely. And you're always welcome to come back. Any project that you want to talk about or life in general, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
You can find out more about our guest, Sunshine, and our previous guest by visiting our website, www.thebycast.org. All links will be provided on our website for Sunshine and for Max and for Lior for his artwork. I want to remind you all, you are not wrong, you're not broken, and you are not alone. You are just a human being, and you are bisexual. Bye, Sunshine. Oh, yes, I wanted to tell you to make sure you tell Lior thank you for sharing his story, too.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
The views expressed on the Bycast do not necessarily represent those of Bynet USA or the Bycast crew.